The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department of Dominican University of California. As a cancer survivor, let me offer you a little piece of advice. Don't get cancer. If you decide to be a rebel and get cancer anyway, you might be wondering what you can expect on your cancer journey. Well, in this series, I will be breaking down what is fact and what is fiction when it comes to the typical cancer experience. This is Cancer Culture. I made the horrible decision of getting myself a sparkling water, and I always forget that sparkling water makes me incredibly burpy. Not just gassy, but just burpy specifically. So, this will be interesting. I do not have my apple juice today. I have sparkling water, and who knows how that's going to go. So like I said in the previous episode, in this episode, I want to talk about what it's like being a family member of somebody who's had cancer. And I personally think that it is worse to be a family member of somebody who has cancer than it is to be the person with cancer. You know, and I can say that. I mean, obviously, my situation was not the worst. Obviously, it was the... I had a really great cancer experience, but in general, I feel like, you know, if you get diagnosed with cancer, the general consensus is something along the lines of, you know, this sucks, and, you know, I'm gonna have to go through this, and, you know, I obviously don't want to, and it's really unfortunate, but I feel like as a family member of somebody with cancer, you're of the mindset of you're watching somebody who you love suffer. And that, to me, feels a lot harder than, ah, this sucks for me. But for me, you know, I think the sort of mindset of having cancer is, you know, just, you know, oh, this sucks for me, this sucks for right now, but oh well, you know, not much we can do about it. But for a family member, and for a parent specifically, in my opinion anyway, that would be a lot worse. There's a quote in The Fault in Our Stars, and I wish I could find the exact quote, but it's something along the lines of, the only thing worse than dying from cancer is being a parent of a kid who's dying from cancer. I wouldn't like to think I was dying from cancer at any point, but I would agree. From my personal experience, my mom felt very guilty about this. You know, there's an unreasonable part of your brain that starts to ask and wonder, was there anything I could have done? Was there anything I could do differently? The reason why I developed cancer, I would have developed it at some point anyway. They found that I had the BRCA1 gene, the BRCA1 gene mutation. And when you have that, there's about a 75% chance that you will develop breast cancer at some point. And so it was a matter of time, but who knows why it happened at this point specifically, because, yeah, typically, it, even with the BRCA1 gene, it comes around when you're in your 50s. And from genetic testing, we found that I received the BRCA1 gene from my mom, and my mom received it from her dad. I think it's incredible that my mom beat the odds in not developing breast cancer. You know, she's in her 50s right now. She's not in her 50s. She's in her... Should I say my mother's age? She's celebrating her second anniversary of being 30 currently. And she's never developed any type of cancer. She's never developed breast cancer specifically. So there really was no way of us knowing until I developed breast cancer that we were even carrying that gene. I know because my mom was the one who passed the gene mutation down to me, or there was a big period of time where she blamed herself for it. And I don't know if she still does, to be honest. Because there is a part of you that wonders if there's anything you could have done. I know for me, I wonder if it was my diet that made this come around, especially at this time, at this age. There's a great panel in Cancer Made Me a Shallower Person where Miriam also talks about how she wonders if eating too much cheese brought about her cancer. This is all just to say that I understand that blame and wanting to blame something is just a very natural. Logically, it doesn't help, but you want to just point a finger and say, you're the reason that this happened. But that's not how it works. But I know my mom blamed herself because her family carried the gene down and she passed it to me. But honestly, at the time I was born, there wasn't anything she could do about it. And in the end, she would have wanted kids anyway. In the end, she still gave birth to me, which, you know, thanks, Mom. That's very nice of you. And for me, I also consider myself lucky that I never really had to have the question of whether or not a mastectomy is something that I want. And I know for my sister, that's got to be a huge question. You know, seeing as though this happened to me now, I wonder if she's thinking, you know, when it's going to happen for her, or if it's going to happen for her, if she's going to be like my mom. Because for me, for being in this situation, I had the best of luck. I'd already been well versed with surgeries and with doctors and with everything. So when this came around, it was just more of a matter of falling back into step. For my sister, she's never had a major surgery. So I feel really bad that she might have to go through this at some point. When we return, we will be talking about the comic Mom's Cancer by Brian Fees. I believe it's Brian Fees. I think so. It's another autobiography done in the style of different comics about Brian Fees' mother's battle with lung cancer. So we can look forward to that when we return to Cancer Culture. So as I said in the first section, we will now be talking about Brian Fees, specifically his work called Mom's Cancer, which is it's a sort of autobiography that he released online in several different parts about his mom's experience having cancer, how his immediate family coped. Brian Fees asks people not to use his work without his permission, and I don't think that this is falling in line with anything like that, right? I'm not, you know, uploading any pictures of the Mom's Cancer comic. I'm not claiming that any of it is my own. I am being the most copyright friendly. You know, so Brian Fees, if you find this and this is exactly what you didn't want, just know I'm sorry. I'm sorry if this falls under what you were saying, Brian Fees. I do think you have a lot of really good insight as a family member of somebody who's had cancer. So, yeah, hopefully this is all good with you, Brian Feese. Again, sorry if it's not. So, a brief introduction. What's Mom's Cancer about? I think you can probably assume by the name what it's about. So this is a quote from Brian Feese from the official Mom's Cancer website. My mother was diagnosed with incurable lung cancer. I made a comic strip about it. Mom's Cancer is a true tale of my mother's battle with metastatic lung cancer. The story describes how a serious illness affects patient and family, both practically and emotionally, in ways that I've discovered are very common. Many readers wrote to tell me how surprised and relieved they were to learn they weren't alone. So originally, Brian Feese had released Mom's Cancer anonymously. He realized that this is a story about his family, and not everybody in his family had consented yet to be comic book characters. So he initially kept it anonymous, but then after time and after it began growing, he then took credit for it. I'd like to read a little bit from the preface of Mom's Cancer. It starts out saying, "You are not alone," which, I don't know, I think that's very powerful, and I think the fact that Feese felt the need to say that, I think it's worth saying too. I'd like to share this quote. "Although Mom's Cancer is very specifically about my family and our experience fighting Mom's metastatic lung cancer, I was astonished by how many readers saw their own stories in ours." One thing that is brought up in the course of Mom's Cancer that I don't think a lot of people even really think about is just telling people about a cancer diagnosis. Initially, Brian Feese's mom didn't want him to tell his stepdad, and he ultimately did just because he felt the need to talk to somebody. And yeah, the family's need to tell somebody about what's going on is something that I hadn't really realized. Because, you know, of course, when you're first diagnosed with cancer, your mind goes to yourself. But you soon realize it's not about you. It's about your family, too. But yeah, he describes how his mom didn't want their stepdad knowing, but ultimately she decided to tell him. And that struck really close to home, because I specifically didn't tell my dad that I had cancer. And I don't know if I ever really can at this point. He never really liked being my dad, but he liked being the dad of somebody who was sick, because he liked the attention. So I didn't want to give him that gratification. And I told my mom ultimately, "You can tell anybody you want. I just don't want him knowing." My throat did something weird there. Initially, when everything started happening, I didn't really want to share the information just because I didn't want people to start panicking or start thinking that something was wrong. And before I could share that sentiment with my mom, the evening after I'd gone in for my biopsy, my mom posts on Facebook, "You know, please pray for us," in one of those messages. And instantly I get a message from my old high school friend, and she's like, "Hey, is everything okay?" And I'm like, yeah, everything's fine. I didn't want this to be super public. I didn't want everybody knowing, but I guess people know that something's wrong now. Thanks, Mom. But, you know, at the same time, people need to tell who they need to tell. And I ultimately told my mom, "You know, you can tell whoever you want to tell. I don't want my dad knowing." Another thing that Brian Feese brings up is how you wouldn't expect it, but sometimes tensions can get very high between family members when they're going through something serious like this. He brings up that everybody's sort of heightened during this time. And while everybody's, you know, doing their best to be at their best, you know, that's a lot of stress at the same time. And it gets to a boiling point. And that is something that I know I experienced in my cancer journey. We had to self-quarantine, and I know that caused a lot of drama between my family and I. I don't know if it's denial. Yeah, there were some things that some family members did that I wish they hadn't. But unfortunately they did. And so yeah, that caused some issues between us for a little bit. Because yeah, you wouldn't think that there would be at a time where you have to really be there for one another, you wouldn't think that anything else would cause any more conflict. So in our next episode, we are going to be talking about treatment, how it feels to go through the treatment, sort of my emotional journey going through treatment, and we will also be having a surprise guest. I don't know if it's going to be next episode. I don't know if it's going to be the one after. One of my surprise guests is currently in the hospital, not cancer related, but still, you know, extremely stressful. So I hope he's doing okay. And with all that being said, thank you for joining me for this episode of Cancer Culture. I haven't heard back from John Green's publicist. And, you know, I'm sure it's just that they're taking the time to write the perfect email like I wrote for them. And, you know, it's fine. I understand, John Green. I understand that you want to come across as perfect. You're a writer. But you can just send me a decent email. That's fine. I know that's why you're taking all this time. It's not that John Green's publicist hasn't read it. Oh, boy. I knew that was a shot in the dark, but, like, geez. I worked so hard on that email. And Hazel Grace got in contact with them. Anyway, yeah, Hazel Grace got in contact with her author. And that guy was a shut-in. Jeez Louise. Jesus Christ. I wouldn't think it would be that hard by comparison to get in touch with John Green, but I guess it is. I guess Mr. over here, we're doing the pizza-thon. freaking, we'll see you next week, brother. I also tried to contact Marissa Acocella Marchetto, and I was almost positive that it would go fine. She follows me on Instagram now. And I thought, like, hey, I'll reach out. And I have not received any type of response. Any response whatsoever. And, you know, I can't be as mad because she's a canned sister. But still, if anybody was going to respond, it was going to be somebody who had seen my Instagram message. At least she could have told me what to do next. So anyway, thank you for joining me for this episode of Cancer Culture. We'll see who my surprise guest will be. Could be anybody. Who knows? Bye-bye.